Are you an entrepreneur looking for more free time, more money, or just looking for that success blueprint? The Proven Entrepreneur is the podcast for you. Host Don Williams and his guests share real success stories from proven entrepreneurs. Here's your host, Don Williams.
Hey, Don Williams here with today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur Show. Have a very good friend, fellow EO member, EO New Jersey, but a semi-transplant to Florida, snowbirding right now, Karen Kopp with Kopp Consulting. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's so good to have you on the show and see you. I originally met you 2 or 3 years ago through your daughter, who I think lives in DC or the Alexandria area. And true delight. I really enjoyed working with her. And I don't remember why, but she connected us. And so.
Well, she's the executive director of EODC.
Yeah. And I recall that, but I'm not sure why she introduced us, but she did. And so that's been, I don't know, 2, 3 years ago, something like that. So your main business now is Kopp Consulting. Mm-hmm. And so what's Kopp do? What do you do?
We've been around for 22 years, and we get our clients in the door with their prospects for the first meeting when the prospects are executive level decision makers, and it's a big engagement. We call that the door opener service. That's what we are best known for.
The door opener service. I love that. So you probably recall one of my businesses. I'm in the contact center business or call center business. And we typically do outbound and business to business. And we would be, I think what the industry would say, high end. But Kopp Consulting, you're actually probably what I would say on the luxury end. And so very boutique, very concierge, high level communicators reaching out to executive level at major corporations around the world, right?
Yes, exactly. We hire only senior level business developers to be our door opener. So when a client hires us, our door opener will represent them as if they were a member of our client's team. And they take a remote access email address and a voicemail box extension at their office. And when they're reaching out using strategic sales messaging, which we're also known for, targeting a strategically selected group of prospects, our clients have someone very, very senior who's representing them and can have conversations with executives that get an outcome.
Love that. So, you know, all my career, I've been in marketing and sales and many years as an outsourcer where people contracted with my company to help either on the marketing or the sales side, and always was bemusing to me. And I want to be real clear about this. Cost is always important, but I was always a little bemused by people who are looking for the absolute lowest priced marketing and sales support they could find, yet expected phenomenal results. And typically my answer to them has been, this is an area where you do get what you pay for. And if you want spectacular results, it's a little more pricey than what you'll find on the bargain.
Right. Well, that's true because the companies that are hiring low-level people who are, sometimes it's actors with a good voice, sometimes it's moms who are home who have a little bit of extra time and they like to talk on the phone. Sometimes it's a kid who just graduated from college. Well, what is the matchability of that person with our client's prospect? So if our client is looking to get in with the CFO of a major corporation, how likely is it that somebody with very little to no experience is going to be able to hold their own in a conversation with that kind of an executive? So there are times when hiring a low-level company like that is right. Like think about if somebody wants to target selling coffee to office managers, it's a very transactional sale. It's a very plentiful market around the world. You probably could hire a lower level person for that. But if you have an accounting firm that's looking to get in with a CFO or an advertising agency that's looking to get in with a CMO or a VP of marketing of a fairly large company, You have to think about what is the matchability, who is going to be able to represent you and get that right door open.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, one thing we know in Sales 101 is that you have to talk to people in the way they can hear. And it's certainly a lot easier if you match a very high level person with a very high level person. Just makes perfect sense. So Let's go all the way back to little Karen. So let's say 5 to graduating high school. In the house that you're raised with your parents, your grandparents, or however that worked, was anyone entrepreneurial? Did someone set that entrepreneur example for you as a child?
Well, my father owned his own business. But the funny story behind that is that he owned his own business and he was in sales. And I didn't want to do what he did. So I didn't want to own my own business and I didn't want to be in sales. And when I went to Babson undergrad, which is known for entrepreneurship and business and everything, and I ended up there learning all of that. And I came out of the school and I worked in sales. I went into a training program that Sylvania had at the time in sales. And so then I was just like, how is this happening? And all roads led me here, all roads, no matter what else I tried to do. I was in brand management for a while after that. No matter what I tried to do, all roads led me here. I am in sales and I own my own business. Thank you, Dad.
Love that. So when I first started doing the Proven Entrepreneur Show success stories, I thought that most of the time on a question like that, the entrepreneur would say, yes, somebody set the example. I've found it's only about half and half. Some people had an entrepreneur example and some people's father worked for the post office and mother worked at the bank. And nothing wrong with that. Everybody has their own path. But what is very common is that entrepreneurs end up owning businesses in something they were exposed to as a child or something they were very good at as a child. And so we find that to be pretty common. So when I did my first job was mowing my parents' yard. Now, I didn't get paid for that. There were consequences if I didn't mow the yard every Thursday. So my first job, I had a landscape job for an area multimillionaire, owned several banks and oil companies, all kinds of stuff. But I actually got a check. So what was your first job where you actually received financial compensation?
Babysitting would have been that. But I have a funny story about babysitting.
Please share.
Well, so that actually became my first cold calling job also, because I'm not kidding. I was 11 years old and the family I babysat for had a lawn doctor franchise. And the mother said to me one day, Karen, you have a good phone voice. Why don't you go into our basement? We have these cubicles there and open up the phone book. Remember those? And call people and ask them if they'd like a free lawn evaluation. And so I did that. And I won awards for that in their company at 11 years old. It was just in my DNA. And actually, that's one of the learnings that I had back then that I carry through into my own company. Just because somebody has been successful in sales doesn't mean they have the DNA to love the job of getting in the door with people they don't know. That's actually a certain kind of salesperson who not only is talented at that, but really loves that job. I loved that job. I could sit there all day and talk to new people. And what I really found fascinating was the study of language and intonation and how if I varied what I said, it would change the outcome of a call that maybe was 2 minutes in total length. So if I changed the cadence of my voice, if I changed the intonation, I could also change the outcome. And I found that fascinating. Well, fast forward a lot of years later, we're known for sales messaging. We have two trademarks in sales messaging, which is a foundational element of successful door opening. So all roads kind of led me here.
I love that. And I've been in the call center business a long time now, 35 years as an outsourcer. And I'm a firm believer that entrepreneurs, certainly everyone involved in sales. And if they're a great closer, maybe they shouldn't be opening their own doors. They probably should just go from closing situation to closing situation. But if you're beginning your career, there is nothing that will teach you like picking up the darn telephone and calling strangers. And today there's a lot of governance on that. You got to do it in a compliant manner, but there is nothing that will accelerate your education into sales and marketing like picking up the phone and doing some cold calls. And so many people have this huge call reluctance where they're just terrified to do that. And it's something you kind of got to get past to be successful in sales. So after, and I'm pretty sure that was in violation of labor law, 11 years old, setting appointments for the lawn care company.
I think if we go back as far back as that was, and we don't need to say how far back that was, there weren't any labor laws against that at that time. Yeah, well, now there would be.
My first job, I was driving a John Deere tractor at wheat harvest behind the combines. And I tell people that, and they're like, how old were you? And I was like, I was 11. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine. And you're like, well, when you're raised on a farm, age doesn't really have anything to do with if you're helping. And the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, is I drove the 9 miles from the house to the farm by myself in a pickup. And of course, you couldn't do that today. And we won't say how many years ago that was. But it wasn't out of the norm for people who lived the farm lifestyle. So after your childhood, you went off to university at Babson and got your degree and studied what?
I double majored in marketing and communications.
Oh my gosh, the stars are just aligning perfectly.
Right? And as many students at Babson did in those days, I had my own business on campus.
Awesome. What was that business?
I sold neckties. So that was where my dad and I went into a little bit of business. He gave me on consignment a box of neckties, and I would set up at the top of the dining room. Babson is a small college, so there's only one dining room, and you could only go down from one direction. You had to pass the same table to go down to the dining room, and the same table on the way up. And my table was next to that table. Location, location, location. And I had a box I set up right around the holidays and around interview season and Father's Day coming up at the end of the school year. And that was also my first experience with having employees, because I had people who sat with the box while I sat in class. And I saw how that was, so that I can leverage my own time to not only make money, but to help other people make money and to help the community have the access to the gifts and the ties that they needed. So that was my first experience with business.
I love that. And I can already tell, if you're listening to this episode and you want to know something about sales, call Karen. She comes she comes by it honestly.
DNA. It's just DNA.
Sure. Okay, so your first business was selling ties, as they had to funnel by your table to leave the lunchroom. I love that. And you recognize that people buy more ties that Father's Day and Christmas and graduation and other times. So I love that. What was your next, business COP consulting, or was there a stop or two in between?
There were a couple stops in between. I left school when I graduated, and I worked for Sylvania in sales, selling light bulbs, home electrical devices, and who remembers flash cubes to grocery, drug, hardware, home center, mass merch. And they shipped me out to Chicago, so I lived there for 3 years. I didn't know anybody in the Midwest. When they sent me out there, I knew not one person in the Midwest. To even call and have a cup of coffee with, I knew nobody. So that was a really big learning experience. And then by the time I left there, not only did I have clients who were friends, but I also had a whole group of friends as well. Had a wonderful time there, learned a lot about sales. So that's where I went through the training program. The first 6 months I was out, They put us through a training program and then shipped us off into various territories. And then I spent the next couple of years there and really understanding the cycle of running a territory. And that's not just about new business development, but that was also about increasing sales with current clients and what happens when the clients expand. So I was one of the winners of our national sales contest and went on a cruise at 23 years old. That was quite an experience. So from there, I went into brand management. So I was working in the OTC side of a pharmaceutical company in brand management, learned about marketing. Oh, there was an MBA in there too. I forgot to tell you about that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went into marketing, then went back for my
small
MBA,
detail,
which I did at NYU. I studied marketing. And then I came back out into brand management. And then I went into the radio industry where I combined the sales experience with the marketing experience. And I was talking to teen and young adult brand managers who had never before considered radio in their media plans. Now, that's probably one of the hardest sells, other than maybe wealth managers. They have a hard sell. But this was a hard sell because most of the time, the agency, the ad agency is deciding on these things. We needed to talk to the brand manager because the agency spent their money on television. We wanted them to spend their money on radio, and they normally don't do that. So we had to make the argument to somebody who had the ability to say to the agency, no, 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 do this. And because I spoke that language, because I sat in that chair, it was all about the messaging, all about that sales messaging. What do we say to get that meeting? And then what do we say in that meeting to have the brand manager say, yeah, you're right. I do need to tell my agency to do it this way. And then from there, I started Cop Consulting.
Awesome. Love that. So important. Words are so powerful. So important that you use the right words in the right order. And then with the right intonation, inflection, pause, et cetera, because you're literally painting pictures in people's minds. And that's how we think. We don't really think in words.
Well, what's really interesting about that, Don, is that even though you say that and I say that, and everybody who's listening will nod along in agreement that words are important, the big question is how much time are they spending really thinking about the words that they use and the words that their salespeople use to make sure that they're right, so that in a performance moment, they're going to get an optimal outcome. Very little time is spent there. So what I've seen happen, I'll bet you've seen this too, is that two companies can go up against each other for a piece of business. And one company is clearly the best one for the job, but doesn't get the job because they didn't have the best words.
Right. Yeah. So to me, it's a lot like speaking. Speaking from the stage is basically content and delivery, and no different in human, really all human interaction. It's, you know, what am I saying? Am I using the right words, and am I delivering them in the right manner? So you're right. So many people do shake their head up and down, but they have no idea if they're doing it right or how to. And so that's one of those instances where if you feel a little short in those areas, you can get a coach. You can hire a pro. There are people who really, really know. And it's not that, you know, one of the things that's helped me many times in my career was something that I wanted to be better at. I just went and found somebody who was really good at that.
Right.
And just paid them. Okay. It's just,
that's right.
You go from A to B, but you get somebody to push A and B a lot closer together. And so, man, time flies and you can just get it done. And so no sense doing it the hard way. If there's an easy way, there's no sense of doing it the hard way.
Right.
Okay. Think back across your career and let's just say at Cop Consulting. And what I'm going to ask you for here is a hard lesson. So something that's happened sometime and maybe some things that occurred that at the time, man, I am not having fun right now. That's a hard cross to bear. But maybe in retrospect, looking back, turns out that it was actually in your benefit, something very good. We know that all success stories have a couple elements of failure. Failure is not the opposite of success. It's actually part of success. So do you have a hard lesson you could share with us?
That's a tough question. Do I have a hard lesson to share? Well, it's not a hard lesson. It's just one of the things we struggle with in our business. We have a particular place of bottleneck in our business that we've tried various different ways to solve and still haven't. So we're still on that journey. I mean, one of the things that I learned early on is that, first of all, just because you're a great seller doesn't mean you're going to be a great door opener, right? So I learned that pretty early on. Then I learned in the business as we were growing that not every great door opener was a great messaging strategist. That was a surprise to me because messaging strategy comes very easily to me. It's almost like lots of muck on a path and I can see the path through. We call it the path to the cash, right? So I can see that very easily. Let's get this out of the way and that out of the way. And this is the clear path. And I know how to put that into words that will create outcomes. Very few people possess that skill. Very rare. So as rare as it is to find a great door opener at a senior level, it's even more rare for one of those people to also be a great messaging strategist. So we tried several different things. In the beginning, I was the messaging strategist for all of them, but that's not a way to scale the business. And then I trained one of our door openers to be our first messaging strategist. And she documented what I was doing because she would say, how do you do this? And I'm like, I don't know. I just do. I feel my way through the conversation. And so she shadowed me for several messaging programs and then documented the patterns of what she saw me doing. And that became the foundation for training other messaging strategists and for our lead strategist who several years ago put together a training program. This job doesn't exist anywhere. You don't have in any one company somebody who's doing door opening sales messaging across industries. The job just doesn't exist. So we had to create that. We tried several different things along the way, which didn't work, and spent money on that too. One of the things I thought about is maybe we can get somebody from a different industry that's similar, like PR, because they have to get doors open with people they don't know. They have to write some pithy language and all of that. But what I learned is that their pithy language was more PRE as opposed to authentic and real. And the more real the language is, the better the door opening is. And we just couldn't get that person to really understand that. We also tried somebody who was just good in sales and a great writer, and that didn't work because although she was writing and it was clear and it was concise, I would hand that messaging to our door openers and the door openers would say, this isn't going to work. They would know this isn't going to work. So that didn't work. So where we are now is we have a group of core messaging strategists who do this, but we bottleneck there. Last spring, we were taking on a lot of new clients at that time, and some of our clients had to wait 6 weeks to get started. Think of the revenue that we lost because we couldn't start them sooner last year. I don't know that that's a hard lesson, but it's a journey. We're still on the journey to try to figure out how to make that easier and remove the bottleneck. One person suggested, just remove the messaging. What do you care? Just have your clients write the message. And I said, well, you know, if our clients knew the messaging, they might not need us. So the messaging is a foundational part of that. And getting that right along with who's the target who needs to hear that, because the world is a big place and targets weren't created equally. People weren't created equally. So where do we find the people who will feel the most urgency? And then what do we say to those people that makes a difference? And then who is the person on my team who's going to synthesize all of that information into a document where the door opener will say, this is a slam dunk. Can't wait to get started. So yeah, it's a journey.
Well, bottlenecks are typically towards the top of the bottle. And so that's just the way it goes. And so thank you for sharing that. What about a warp speed moment? What about something that happened in the past in your business where things had been going along pretty good, but then all of a sudden you won the big deal, you had tons of deals coming in, something that was just a hockey stick moment?
One I remember was Vern Harnish, who runs the Scaling Up organization. You probably know him. My book, Biz Dev Done Right, is on Gazelle's Growth Institute, and he's had me on to do some of his on-demand seminars before Growth Institute was even around. But if you go back even further than that, not long after I met him, he put something in his newsletter that goes to, I don't even know how many people, but a lot, about our service and what we're doing with the door opener service to get clients in the door. And it was a flood. It broke my website contact button. It was just a flood. And I truly appreciate all the support he's given our organization and me over many, many, many years. But that was a really fun time.
Yeah, I love that. Almost parallel to an entrepreneur on Shark Tank, whether they get a deal or not, just the exposure does so much good for them.
Well, it's what's interesting is that when the kinds of people who follow him read something like that about our organization and the way we're structured, a lot of times it's like a light bulb moment, because even though, yes, we are getting appointments and appointment setting is not new, the way we go about this using only senior level business developers who can represent them and get the big doors open, that's kind of a light bulb moment for people. They didn't really know that existed. So as soon as they see that that existed and it comes from somebody like Vern, the phone rings. So that was great.
Yeah, I don't think there's any one single thing you can do that will explode your business better than having a person who has tons of credibility and a large audience stand up and say, I don't know what Karen charges. I don't know if she has any availability, but I know that if you need this done, you should hire her. And there's nothing better than that.
Yes.
So, okay, we're going to put you in the time machine now. We're going to take you back to 20-year-old Karen. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get about 60 or 90 seconds to share a couple of thoughts that you wish you knew then, that you know now, that would have sped you along your entrepreneurial path. So, couple thoughts.
Yeah. That's good, because I thought you were going to ask me to sing, and that wouldn't have been pretty.
That's next.
So 20, I would have been in college. That was still when I was trying to fight being in sales and owning my own business. I was still on that path at that time. What would I say about that journey?
Something that would help you speed along your way. Something you know now you wish you knew then.
I think it might have to do with leveraging the relationships of the people I knew at that time. I think leverage is not the best word. Now that I think about it, I think it's caring for those relationships. And I'm not using the word nurture because it's overused, but caring for those relationships really along the way. I don't know that at that time I really understood the importance of the important people who I was meeting and were along my path. And that's true of the professors and the people I reported to when I got to Sylvania and some of the other, although I'm still in touch with them, actually, my first two bosses, I'm still in touch with them. And I don't think I really understood the power of that. Also, the power of having like maybe a top 5 or a top 10 list of people who could change my life and the path to meeting those people, even if I didn't know them. And now I understand the power of that and the ability to chart a course that would put me in the same place as somebody who could change my life.
Love that. Thank you for sharing. So, if one of our tribe wanted to reach out, what's the best way to reach you, Karen?
They can reach me through the website, which is copconsultingusa.com. So K-O-P-P consultingusa.com. They can learn more about what we do with the door opener service and sales messaging. They can reach me that way. They can reach me through LinkedIn, Karen Kopp, but Karen is C-A-R-Y-N-K-O-P-P. they can reach me that way too. And I hope they do, because I'd love to hear about what people are doing now. Business development has certainly changed in the last couple of years. So I run a company of people who do business development across industries. Every day we're collecting data and we understand what's working because we have the data to support it. And I'd be happy to share with whoever needs to know that information.
Yeah. Listeners, you won't find a nicer, smarter, more well-rounded biz dev person than Karen Kopp at Kopp Consulting. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And that's today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur Show.
That's today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur. Go to provenentrepreneurshow.com, subscribe to the show, leave an iTunes review, and you could win a $25,000 VIP day in Dallas with Don himself. And get Don's easier and faster selling with video course free. Please join Don on the next episode of The Proven Entrepreneur.